your workday may be done, but we're not.
This is The Six.
On Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 and 106.3, The Game.
In The Game Nashville app.
Time for The Six. Here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. My name's Max Erz. Friday night, weekend's here. And if you're a Vanderbilt sports fan, especially a Vandy fan across multiple or all sports, this next hour of radio is good for you. But it's good for anybody. We've got three athletes that I've known for a long time who I attended Vandy with. All three of my guests showed up at Vandy in the summer of 2013, just like I did. All three of them were there to play sports, and I was not. All three of them have played pro sports after great careers at Vandy. Two of them are still playing their sport professionally at the highest level. First up, we got San Francisco 49ers linebacker, formerly of Vandy football, Oren Burks, who still makes Nashville his offseason home. Played the last 4 years for the Packers. Free agent for the first time this year. Signs a two-year deal with the Niners. He will be our first guest coming up here momentarily. After that, around 6:20 or so, one of the greatest athletes, if not the greatest in Vandy history, will join us. Simone Charlie was a two-sport athlete for Vandy. Soccer and triple jump, was the best player in both. And she's now playing soccer professionally for Angel City FC in Los Angeles. First-year expansion team in the NWSL, National Women's Soccer League. So Simone will join us around 6:20 or so. And then we'll finish up with a Vandy Boys fan favorite who played 1 year of minor league baseball but is now in the coaching ranks. Roe Coleman was the leadoff hitter on the Commodores 2014 national title team as a freshman. Now makes Nashville his full-time home, is coaching travel baseball and mentoring here, and also recently got his first chance to coach the top high school prospects in the country with USA Baseball. We'll start with Oren Burks. Came to Vandy from the D.C. area, was part of James Franklin's final recruiting class, graduated high school in 2013, redshirted his first year, then played the next 4 years under Derek Mason, and was one of the two best players along with Zach Cunningham on all of those Vanderbilt defenses. Drafted in the third round in 2018 by the Packers out of Vandy, he played the previous 4 years for the Pack as a linebacker and a special teamer, and signed a two-year deal with the 49ers after hitting the free agency market for the first time ever back in March. So Oren Burks is on the show, one of Vandy's finest, and you'll hear a great story about the first time he and I met as well, and it was actually during a Vanderbilt football game that he was not attending. Oren, thanks so much for doing this. We're glad that Nashville is still your off-season home after your time at Vandy, and thanks for coming on with us tonight.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
What has this summer been like so far, switching NFL teams for the first time?
It's been kind of hectic, honestly. It's been traveling a lot and then been here in Nashville for the most part, but honestly been away most weekends and kind of getting acclimated out in San Francisco. And it's been a cool transition, though, so far. My sister, she went to Stanford, so nice being close to her as well. But it's just a good transition for me so far.
That's great that you got the family connection with your sister having played softball out there. This entire show is members of our same incoming class of Vanderbilt students in 2013, and we are class of 2017. I know you graduated in one semester later than some of us, but we all came in together.
Still 17.
Yeah.
December 17.
Oh, okay. There you go. So yeah. I wanted to ask if you remember the first time that we ever met, which was first semester of our freshman year when you were redshirting in James Franklin's final season. Me and some of my friends were walking around trying to watch a football game that wasn't on the campus cable before the SEC network, and we didn't know how to stream it. And somebody ended up finding it, and we ended up seeing Jay Woods, your teammate who lived in our dorm building, walking around trying to find it too.
Yep.
And we ended up sitting in the basement of, I think, West House. I lived in North. We ended up in West because they had a bigger TV, watching the game with you, Jay, Jonathan Wynn, and maybe another redshirting player or two, and that was the historic win over Florida.
Yep, I remember that as well. It was in West House because I lived in West House.
Okay.
It was Jay and Nigel were in North, and they were all Georgia boys, so they all came over there.
Right. Okay. Nigel Bowden was there too. Then he was definitely there also.
Yep.
That's awesome. That was just such a funny experience because we couldn't find a way to watch a game, and then we were like, wait, the people on the team who didn't travel also can't find a way to watch the game. So that's a funny memory a big win for sure.
Absolutely. That redshirt year was interesting. You know, obviously coming in as a recruit, you're like, all right, like I'm going to play as a freshman. And you're kind of used to being the man. And that was like definitely a humbling year, but we had a lot of success that year as well. So it's kind of cool to be part of that success with a little less pressure, like without actually playing. So I felt like that was a really good development year for a lot of the guys because we only played, three guys their true freshman year in our class. So
Yeah, it really –
heavy on the upperclassmen.
It was two out of like 20 to 25 of you in total, I think, and most of you, especially yourself, ended up being big stars on some of Derek Mason's best teams after James Franklin, who recruited you guys, left. What was it like being able to find success with – the group that you came up with playing football at Vanderbilt and proving that Vanderbilt didn't only win because of James Franklin?
Yeah, it was definitely a culture thing. Like our class was super close. One, because like most of us redshirt, so we were hanging out on the weekends and kind of really getting to know each other. And I remember a lot of times we would do like young guy scrimmages and we would like really get after it, you know, and like, we're like, all right, we can't wait for our time to get out there and really play and show our stuff. So, in terms of transition to Coach Mason, like it took a little bit to build that culture, but when we did, I felt like we were heading in the right direction. There was obviously some fallbacks and things like that, but for the most part, like the guys in the locker room stuck together.
You switched midway through your time at Vandy from defensive back to linebacker. What was most challenging about that, and how did that process help you eventually become an NFL player?
Man, it was a whirlwind. So I came in as a linebacker recruit with Franklin. As soon as Mason came in, he was like, I think you're a DB because we switched to a kind of a 3-4 defense. So I definitely wasn't going to be an outside backer. I would have to put on a ton of weight. And inside backers, there was only like two guys. We had Nigel and Zach and a couple other guys like that. So he's like, hey, let's try you out at nickel. Play a little bit of nickel. They're like, all right, we're going to move you to safety. And I was just like, man, I'm just trying to play. I don't care where it is. And just having that mindset, I feel like, has helped me throughout my career because it was very similar in high school. I played, like, everything from defensive end to safety to receiver, tight end, all that kind of stuff. So I just love playing ball, man. So wherever they put me on the field, I would just try to find a way to make plays. And ultimately, that really helped me when it came time for the draft. Just showing that versatility, like playing a high-level safety, playing high-level inside and outside back there, knowing that they could plug me in anywhere has really helped me in my career.
Talking to 49ers linebacker Oren Burks, Vanderbilt football alum, played for the Doors from 2013 through 2017, played for the Packers the last 4 years, now making the move out west in free agency with a two-year deal with the 49ers. And Oren, every time I was watching a Packers game, you were in there, whether it was a snap every defensive drive or every defensive series, and you were on every punt unit and punt return unit, kickoffs and things like that. As an NFL player, like on the most basic level, how do you know what is going to be asked from you week to week, and how much does it change in terms of I'm starting at this position this week, I'm in this package or formation this week?
Yeah, it definitely changes from week to week just based on game plan. So like, say when we were playing the 49ers, we know they're mostly a two back or 12 personnel team, so I'm like, all right, most likely I'm going to be playing outside and like kind of setting the edge and getting into pass coverage from the line of scrimmage. So it kind of varied from week to week versus like playing a more West Coast offense team where they're spreading the field a little bit, and I'm like, all right, I might be in more on sub packages as that nickel linebacker. So for me, it was just like I said, like I just love playing ball, and like wherever coaches see fit that I can like get in and make an impact and add value to the team, that's where I try to shine. But just having a week to week, like my job can completely change. It was a lot, you know, but again, like putting that on tape consistently, it's kind of helped me in my career, just showing that I'm versatile.
So much of your value as a pro player is special teams. How do you evaluate yourself on special teams, and how does your evaluation change based on I did something good on this play, but the team result wasn't good, or vice versa?
Yeah, it's definitely harder to do than most people think. I take a lot of pride in special teams just because I've seen firsthand how much it can change the momentum of a game in terms of field position, in terms of turnovers, especially like our last game against the Niners. We lost really because of special teams. And just I feel like for a lot of young guys coming into the league as rookies and second-year players, like, oh, I'm just focused on defense or offense. And they kind of don't have that focus on special teams. But for me, that's where I really found my, like, solidified role with the team. It's like, all right, I'm a core special team guy. They can always depend on me to do my job and try to make up for some other guys maybe not doing their job. But to me, it comes down to just physicality, playing extremely tough, being fast, like just not even thinking. Like you should do all your thinking before the play, during the week while you're watching film, and then just having the 1-2 attitude. Like I said, like a lot of guys don't take special teams seriously. So it's like if you just want to do it, then you kind of have a leg up on most guys. So it's a combination of those things. Those three things that I feel like really allowed me to play at high levels on special teams.
Talking to Oren Burks, NFL linebacker, now with the San Francisco 49ers, about to start his fifth year in the league as a third-round pick out of Vanderbilt when he was drafted by the Packers in the 2018 draft, where he played the previous four and his first four NFL seasons. So, Oren, you're a free agent for the first time this spring, signed with the Niners pretty quickly after free agency opened in March. What types of options did you have, and what was it like being an NFL free agent for the first time?
I feel like my process was relatively quick. I already kind of knew an idea of the teams that, or at least the teams that I would fit well with. And the Niners, they came like as soon as free agency opened and put a great deal together. And I was really just looking for a great opportunity in terms of coming in and being able to compete, having a great organization, and then just being in a great city. And I felt like the 49ers fit all three of those things and just pulled the trigger. I didn't even really kind of wait for some other teams to reach out. Just knew that was going to be a great fit for me, and especially having my sister there as well. That's another added bonus, but it ended up being a good transition.
That's great. Talking to Oren Burks, new San Francisco 49er, Vanderbilt football alum here on 102.5 The Game. The Niners' story really starts and ends. It doesn't end with him, but it always starts with George Kittle. He is a beloved player around the league. He makes it no secret that he loves living in Nashville in the offseason, just like you do. You guys have worked out together in a big group of pro athletes for a long time. When and how did you guys first meet, and how excited are you to play with him?
Yeah, we met. We have the same strength coach, and we do the speed and agility with the same guy, Jeremy Hold and Josh Cuthbert. So just kind of met in a workout setting and knew he was like one of those guys that was a workhorse on the field and wanted to see what he was about off the field. And he's the exact same way, man. He loves to get after it in the weight room and on the field and has a good time doing it. So
he seems really like such a fun dude.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. He's always got smiles and great energy, and I really like our workout group. Like, we got a ton of guys from the NFL that come in for a week or two, and they're like, hey, I might actually stay here for the rest of the time during the offseason. They ended up making it home. So, I didn't have to leave. You know, I was here at Vandy's basically since 2013 and haven't left ever since.
That's awesome. Talking to Oren Burks here on 102.5 The Game, and another sometimes member of that lifting group, or at least a former member, is Philip Forsberg, and he and George Kittle have become unbelievable and honestly unlikely friends is the way the story has been told, and it's so great how much they support each other when Kittle is here in the off season and going to as many Preds games as he can down the stretch. What's it like for you meeting a high-level pro athlete in another sport who's from another country who is training with you but obviously training differently?
Yeah, so we Phil actually just started working out with us. It was like actually during COVID, and we were kind of had smaller groups. We were working out of garages, like all over Nashville, just trying to figure out because all the gyms are closed. And the same thing, like he just brings a great attitude, works extremely hard, and it's just in a different sport, you know. So like some of the things that we were doing, he was like, all right, this is how it translates to hockey. This is how it translates to this position. And just kind of learning the game of hockey, it's been really cool to see, especially with the Preds. They're always fun to watch here mm-hmm. in Nashville, and I've enjoyed a lot of games here as well, but it's just cool to have a different mix of guys working out with you and just having that same goal of being great.
You and him are the same age. You're both 27 years old. You just hit free agency in football for the first time and changed teams. He is about to hit free agency, potentially, if he doesn't re-sign with the Preds next week. I don't need you to divulge any inside information, and I have no idea if you've even seen Philip recently, but you can't envision him leaving, right? He belongs here.
I would say Nashville loves him. He loves Nashville, but I honestly don't know what's going on with that situation, but I'll just leave that up to him and his family to make the best decision for him, and hopefully he ends up here because we love him here, but I know he's gonna go where the best fit is for him.
Hey, and he'll still be lifting with you guys in the summer either way, I bet, but we certainly hope Absolutely. He stays in Smashville, that's for sure, and we love that you guys are as tight as you are. One final question for Oren Burks, Vandy football alum, linebacker for the Niners, previously for the Packers. You have hosted some football camps in two different places on different sides of the globe that mean a lot to you. In your hometown of Lorton, Virginia, in the D.C. area, and also in Ghana, teaching the game of football.
Yep.
What have both of those experiences been like, and why did you decide to do both those things?
Yeah, so for the hometown in Lorton, I just have so much love and respect for the community there. They really kind of molded me into the man I am today, and always want a chance to give back, and we were able to do that last week, and able to see a lot of family there as well, which is really important to me. But the kids were awesome, man. We had like 70 guys sign up, and they just had a great attitude. Running around like they just didn't stop. We were offering them water breaks. They're like, no, we don't need water breaks. We're ready to go again. But I had a great time out there. And then in Ghana, one of my best friends, actually from high school, he's Ghanaian. And from high school, he was like, you got to come out to Ghana. You got to come out to Ghana. And last year, we were able to make that happen. And I just fell in love with the culture out there. And when I travel, I like to be a part of the culture as much as possible and kind of learn from the people there, the locals. And I was just thinking, like, all right, how can I, like, give back, you know, while I'm out here in Ghana? Because we were out there for 10 days, and we ended up kind of last minute thinking of doing, like, a football clinic. And I was like, do they even play football over here? Like, I had no idea how that would work out, but we ended up partnering with the organization that they actually do football drills, like, on a week-to-week basis, and just saw how much raw talent is out there. And that really just, like, stuck with me, you know, because, like, a lot of these guys, like, they just want an opportunity to play in college or the pros or whatever that looks like. And we're actually now building, like, an academy of sorts that's going to help
Wow.
kind of bridge the gap between football in Ghana and in the States. So hopefully getting these guys opportunities to play in private schools and in the States, get their education, and hopefully get a scholarship at the next level. So
that's beautiful.
It's been a passion project, and we're kind of slowly building that. And it's been really cool to be a part of.
Oren Burks, if you didn't know him, now you do. One of Vandy football's finest. You hear just how well he talks the game, everything that matters to him. He was a nominee for Outstanding Senior at Vandy, which is an award that does not go to athletes. It goes to the finest academically and extracurricularly. And the best part about it, Oren, was that you couldn't be there for the ceremony because it was at halftime of a football game and you were in the locker room. So your dad went out there for you.
Yep. He did. That was a pretty special moment. I know he's soaking it up.
I voted for you, by the way. But thanks so much for doing this. Great talking to you. Thanks for being such a good representative of Nashville and Vandy, and we will be rooting for you out in San Francisco this season.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. It's been fun to see you grow as well. You know, like, we came in at the same time, and to see where you are with your career as well, it's really encouraging, man. We're all doing big things.
Oren Burks about to be a fifth-year NFL pro. I don't know when we start calling him a veteran, but the man just signed a two-year contract. He's a third-round pick, top 100 pick, 88th overall to the Packers. Out of Vanderbilt in the 2018 draft, he was part of James Franklin's final recruiting class at Vandy. Never actually played a snap under Coach Franklin because he redshirted in 2013, then played on Derek Mason's best teams and was one of the best players on all of Derek Mason's teams while he was at Vanderbilt, playing both DB and linebacker in college, as you heard, playing linebacker in the NFL, some nickelbacker type positions, as you heard him talk about, and a whole lot of special teams. Packers the last 4 years, two-year contract with the Niners with his buddy George Kittle. So we're looking forward to seeing OB on what we hope is a very good Niner team this fall, and all signs are pointing to that right now with Trey Lance taking over the QB spot. So Oren Burks is great. We'll take a break, come back, talk with another member of the Vanderbilt class of 2017, who is now a pro athlete. Simone Charlie both played soccer and competed in triple jump in track and field during her time at Vanderbilt. She is now a pro soccer player in the NWSL, National Women's Soccer League. She is at an expansion team this year after starting her career with the Portland Thorns. She is now on Angel City FC, the new team in Los Angeles. We'll hear from Simone, one of the greatest athletes, if not the greatest, in Vanderbilt sports history. Men, women, any sport. Simone is right there, and the argument is there that she is number one. And I'm happy to make it, even though she probably doesn't want me to make it for her. We'll take a break. My name's Max Herz. This is The Six on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.
Get ugly.
Welcome back to The Six here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. My name's Max Herz. Taking you through an all Vandy athlete hour. Three of Vandy's finest. All in the same class here as me, class of 2017. Three athletes that I've gotten to watch for a long time. And the middle of our three interviews tonight, after we talked to 49ers linebacker Oren Burks in the first segment, is by far the best athlete of the three we're going to talk to. And the other two both admitted it, by the way. So that's a fact. I won't say it to her face when she's on because she's too humble to even come close to admitting it. But Simone Charlie is probably the best Vandy athlete of all time. She's certainly in the top five. She was a two-sport athlete at Vanderbilt, an unlikely athlete, period, at Vanderbilt, as you'll hear in her story of how she got to Vandy during this interview. She was all-SEC for soccer, is now a professional soccer player in her fourth year in the NWSL, which is the highest women's pro league here in the U.S. and arguably in the world. The English League would have something to say about that, but all the best players on the U.S. women's national team, for the most part, play in this league and on Simone's teams and against Simone. She's on Angel City FC this year, which is a new team, expansion team this year in Los Angeles, sharing a stadium with LAFC of Major League Soccer, the men's pro team. Very popular new team. She played the previous three seasons with the Portland Thorns in the NWSL. 4 years of soccer at Vandy, all SEC, helped start the current success that the team is having, one of the top teams in the SEC now, and she's a big reason why in the early years of the current coaching staff. And while she was doing all that, she made the U.S. Olympic trials and was a college All-American in the triple jump for the Vanderbilt track and field team. This is a first-team all-world athlete, period. And it was a pleasure to announce so many of her soccer games in college, see her playing pro now, and get to talk to her about both her pro career, her college career at Vanderbilt, some of the big decisions she had to make at Vandy, whether it was picking one sport over another, the various priorities that had to do with that, the coaching change she experienced while a member of the soccer team after her sophomore year, after playing on two not-so-great teams to start her collegiate tenure. Simone Charlie is guest 2 out of 3 on our Vandy Class of 2017 Athlete Hour here on The Six on 102.5 The Game. Simone, great to talk to you again. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Max. Good to hear from you.
What is it like being a pro athlete in the amazing city of Los Angeles, which you're going through for the first time this year?
It's been exciting. Definitely a transition for me coming from Portland. definitely a lot more sunshine, which is cool. No, LA is a pretty cool city. There's so much to do. Always something new to explore. There's also a whole bunch of other sports teams around. So that part's pretty cool. Just like being able to go see like the LA Sparks play or a Dodgers game and stuff like that, and kind of just join the LA sports community. So it's been really exciting, and I've really enjoyed it.
You were on the Portland Thorns for your first 3 years in the NWSL. What was it like starting your pro career in a city and a state where women's soccer has been the sport way before the pro league even existed?
It was definitely a really cool experience. Portland is a special place. Kind of like you said, women's soccer gets so much support there. So just being able to go and play in front of like 20,000 people week in and week out was like really exciting and a very special experience. And I think just our team being so ingrained in the community was awesome because you get to like develop so many connections with so many people. And also, Portland's like a really cool town. It's just like a funky place if you've ever been. There's so much to do there too. So I definitely enjoyed my time there. Loved my teammates. We got along well, and it was a really good a really good jumping off place for me.
Did you watch Portlandia, the TV show, while you were there or ever?
I did not watch Portlandia, but I've heard so much about it, and I heard it's pretty spot on.
Yeah, you basically lived it. It is scary authentic how wildly accurate it is while seeming so not real, but it is very real as you lived. Simone Charlie is on the line with us. She now plays for Angel City FC, first-year team out in L.A. in the NWSL after her time in Portland. What is it like moving teams and going to an expansion team, and is it them picking you, you picking them, you getting traded as the league expands?
Yeah, so it's been pretty cool being a part of an expansion team. You get to set the tradition. So for us, it's just about building a foundation and kind of being able to set our own goals. And yeah, it's pretty cool being a part of something new. As far as like getting here, I think it's kind of a mutual picking of each other. Like I said, I loved my time in Portland, but it seemed like it was time for me to take a new step. And Angel City expressed their interest in me, and so we kind of just like picked each other. And it's been really cool being a part of something that obviously it's a really cool soccer team to be a part of, but also just they value the community and just giving back to those who support us. So being able to be a part of something bigger than soccer, I think for me has been the most exciting part.
The list of players that you currently play with on Angel City and also played with in Portland for fans of the U.S. Women's National Team and other international teams is absolutely unbelievable. You played with Kristen Press to start this year. You played with her up top. Sydney LaRue just joined your team. And, I mean, in Portland, it's Megan Klingenberg, Tobin Heath, Becky Sauerbrunn, Christine Sinclair, Lindsay Horan. I mean, it is unbelievable the caliber of player that is showing up every night in this league. What is that like for you to be a starter and a regular amongst players like that?
No, it's been a dream come true, to be completely honest. Being able to play with literally some of the best players in the world, day in and day out, is definitely something that, like I said, it's a dream come true. And I feel like for me, it's really cool just being able to learn from people and learn from their habits and seeing how their discipline is like what got them so far and just their work ethic, and being able to just kind of glean some of that from them has been really cool. But I definitely sometimes have to pinch myself,
yep,
like on the field, and just be like, yo, like, I'm really out here with like people that like I used to watch on TV. And I even remember one of my first games playing for Portland when we played Orlando, and like Marta was on the other side of the field, and like she was definitely one of my favorite players growing up, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like I'm really out here with Marta. So, yeah, it's a dream come true, and it's awesome.
I will ask you about one specific play from your pro career. It's your first goal for your new team for Angel City in a Challenge Cup game. I can only describe it, and Simone, I saw you score some crazy goals at Vandy in a lot of different ways. I'm going to go ahead and call this goal a crazy arcing fadeaway header. How did you pull this off, and how would you describe it? Was I close?
That's funny. I first have to shout out my teammate, June. She put a great ball in. It was basically off of a corner kick. We recycled the ball. She got it wide and just literally put it right on my head. It was a little behind me, so I just kind of jumped up and arced back to kind of pop it up over the keeper. It was pretty exciting. It was great being able to finally get my first goal for the club and get the ball rolling for the season.
All right, we both used arced, so like I was at least close in my using I used terms from I think 5 different sports in trying to describe that. So I'm glad I got part of it right. We're talking to Simone Charlie, former Vandy soccer and triple jump star, and now a pro player in the NWSL for Angel City FC in LA. Let's talk about your time at Vandy, Simone. You played 2 sports at Vandy. You excelled in both sports, and you were either all-conference or all-American in both sports. How many other schools offered you in both, and were you technically on scholarship for just one or both, and what was the process of just creating all that like?
Yeah, it was definitely just a blessing to be able to do both. That was something that I had dreamed about doing since I was a kid. But it all kind of came together, honestly, the grace of God. But it came together pretty last minute. I wasn't highly recruited at all out of high school. I actually visited Vandy just like on my own, like just did a regular tour and everything.
Wow.
And just like fell in love with the school. And so I went and like knocked on the soccer coach's door and was just like, hey, I play soccer and I'd love to play here. Like, I don't know if you guys have any scholarships, but like, I just would love to come. And they were just kind of like, okay, if you think so, like, who is this girl? And so anyways, I had like a tournament a couple weeks later and I like emailed them just like begging them to come to my game. And so, yeah, then, Derek Green at the time ended mm-hmm. up being able to make it out to the tournament. And that's kind of when the ball started rolling as far as me coming to Vandy. And then once I, came for my official visit, I was wanting to ask about doing track, but I was too nervous because I was like, I barely skated in to get on the soccer team. Like, they only had, I think, one scholarship left. And so I was like, I can't ask to do a whole nother sport if, like, you barely got me on the soccer team. But then after I finally, like, verbally committed, he just was like, hey, actually, I talked to the track coaches and they saw that, like, you jump. Would you possibly be interested in be doing track here, too? And I remember just, like, looking at my mom and just, like, my jaw dropped to the floor.
Wow.
So I was like, yes, like, that's what I've been wanting to do. So, yeah, it was, like, literally the grace of God. And
wow.
Yeah, I, like I said, I wasn't highly recruited. It was basically I wanted to come to Vanderbilt. I picked them, and then luckily they ended up picking me back.
Wow. So for those of you listening who don't know who Simone Charlie is, who you're hearing for the first time ever right now, that is the story of how she last minute got onto the Vandy soccer team, then ended up on the track team that she was too shy or nervous to ask about getting on. She ended up being all SEC and a future pro in soccer and an All-American and near Olympian in triple jump. So the start of an absolutely wild story. And your soccer journey at Vandy is a crazy one because the head coach you just mentioned, Derek Green, left the team at the end of your sophomore year. Darren Ambrose, who's the current coach, was hired, and the team had totally bottomed out. You were the best player on a not-so-great team your sophomore year, and then Darren Ambrose came in, started to change the culture, and you experienced the beginning of that. But that first offseason, and you were with track for some of this too, so many players left mm-hmm. the team because the standards had been upped. There were practices, I was told, with like 10 players there, basically. What do you remember about all that?
Yeah. So yeah, Darren came in for my junior season or the spring of my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I was doing track at the time, but you know, my best friend Lyd, who was on the team, we roomed together. And so I remember her like coming back from training every day and being like, Sim, guess what we did in practice today? And being like, oh my gosh, like this is so different. And yeah. Darren came in and just, like, set a really high standard for us, and he changed the culture in the best way, and I think he definitely challenged us, and it was very hard, and it was a very trying time, but I think for us, it's what we needed, and helped bring out the best in us, and so I remember just, like, going to practice, and, like, one thing Darren, like, prides himself on is, like, everyone is kept to the same standard. It doesn't matter if you're playing 90 minutes every weekend or if you never see the field. It's like, no, if you're not upholding the standard, he will hold you accountable. Like, he's not.
Yep.
Like, everyone
I can attest to that
standard, which is something that I really respected. And he also just really, really cared about character, and he pretty much just used character to inform like his decisions and inform like how we move forward as a team. And basically it was just like, we're going to improve everyone's character and you'll see the results on the field. And so it was a lot of just like reading books together, the 5 dysfunctions of the team and who moved my cheese and like all these different books. And it was like, Yeah, a lot of just like learning, and it was great. I feel like I learned so much. Like, I still call Darren now to talk about team culture at the pro level because I just respect his opinion so much.
Wow. Well, he's about to start his eighth season as the head coach at Vandy, SEC champion head coach, and it's still rolling, and he's still got his original assistants there with him too. So you were there for the start of something amazing, and the one final step in your soccer journey at Vandy was you took an entire season off what would have been your senior year after a very, very intense triple jump spring leading up to the 2016 Olympics, which you were training for that entire time. Why did you decide to take off that fall of soccer after trying to make the Olympics, and who helped you the most with that decision?
So who helped me the most with that was easily the late David Williams. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. And I remember having a conversation with him going into 2016 or going into 2015. And we had like gone to this, like there was like a speaker at Vandy, and I happened to run into him there, and he was like, just ended up driving me in his little golf cart thing.
The signature cart.
You know? Yeah, the signature golf cart. And he was just like, hey, Simone, like, I know that, you know, the Olympic trials are coming up next year, and you are more than capable of being a part of that. And he's like, I think you should take it. And if you, he's like, I want you to think about it, but if this is something you want to do, come to my office and we'll talk about it and we'll figure out how to make it happen. Like, don't worry about redshirting or scholarships or anything like that. Like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity and I want you to have that. And so go back to your dorm, think about it. And once you come up with your decision, come to my office and we'll make it happen. And so I'm incredibly thankful for him, and just not even just that experience, but just like how he helped me throughout my entire college career. I ended up after that, I remember having a long conversation with my parents, and we're just like, yeah, like, when else can you compete in the Olympic trials? You know, that's not something that comes around very often. And so I ended up, like I said, going to David Williams' office and being like, yep, this is what I want to do. And so we ended up having this, like, meeting with, it was the soccer coaches, the track coaches, and everyone, David Williams, like all of us, like in this conference room of like, okay, how can we do this, and like, what would put me in the, like, in a good position to do this? And it for me was just having to redshirt that soccer season, because track would end up going until mid-July, and that would only give me like a week and a half to try to, I guess, get my life together for soccer season. And it was just kind of like, there's no need to, like, rush all that. And if, let's say, the Olympic opportunity did come around, then, like, you want to be able to just be present for that. And so, yeah, we ended up deciding on redshirting soccer that year.
And you ended up playing the following fall of soccer. So you played four full seasons of soccer, four full springs of track as a triple jumper, and correct me if I'm wrong, you also got a grad degree out of all this too, right?
Yeah, so I was able to get a master's degree, which is really cool. That was another, like, positive out of the situation was my being at Vanderbilt for another year. I was already somewhat on track to graduate early, and so I was able to pretty much graduate a semester early and then start grad classes the following term going into what would be my redshirt year. I was able to get a master's in medicine, health, and society, which is pretty awesome.
So two Vanderbilt degrees, all conference or all American in two sports, and a pro athlete. If you don't know Simone Charlie, she loves Nashville. She's an Alabama native, and she is on Angel City FC, the first-year team in Los Angeles that is getting a ton of fan and celebrity and support in the NWSL. Simone, so great talking to you. Always great to follow your play. And good luck tomorrow night in a big game against San Diego out there.
No, so good to hear from you, Max. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Simone Charlie, former Vanderbilt star in two sports, in soccer and triple jump, all SEC in soccer, now a pro soccer player. And the crazy part about it is triple jump was probably her better sport, and she almost made the Olympics in it. But soccer, as you heard, was the sport that got her the scholarship, and she was too nervous to even ask to join the track team in the beginning. And she ended up in the U.S. Olympic trials 3 years later. So just an unbelievable athlete. Her family is incredibly athletic, and triple jump is the main sport amongst her family, especially her siblings, including her brother Miles, who was a triple jumper at Troy in their home state of Alabama and actually worked in the athletic department at Vandy for the last few years and still lives here in Nashville. So great to talk to Simone. I interviewed her quite a bit in college as the star player on the soccer team that was one of my main beats and my main broadcast beat at the student radio station for her Vanderbilt soccer career. So cool to have three athletes that I've known for a long, long time since our freshman years of college on the show. Oren Burks was first up, NFL linebacker, now on the Niners. Simone Charlie, NWSL player. We'll take a break, come back with the only one of the three tonight who is not a current pro athlete at the highest level of their sport. Roe Coleman did play 1 year of minor league baseball after 4 years as a starting outfielder for Vandy Baseball from 2014 to 2017. He is now in the Nashville area doing some very high-level amateur baseball coaching and recently got his first full chance to coach the highest-level rising senior high school baseball prospects in the nation with USA Baseball. And he actually just got back from Cary, North Carolina at their development camp yesterday. And he was nice enough to come to us the first day right after that. So Roe Coleman is next. All these interviews are going to be on the Game Nashville podcast page on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can find them there at the end of the show tonight if you missed any of them. My name's Max Herz. It's all Vandy class of 2017 tonight. Me and three of my significantly more athletic acquaintances here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm going to just take the conversation we was having and put it in rap form. I got my chains on, too. Look, they ask who's the best MC.
Welcome back to The Six here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herz with you. Proud Vanderbilt grad, class of 2017 right here, and we just roped in some of my significantly more athletic peers for this hour. We went football with our boy OB, Oren Burks, and Simone Charlie, who in my opinion is one of the greatest athletes, if not the greatest, in Vanderbilt history, period, full stop. And then we got a Vandy Boys fan favorite, actually in studio with me, Nashville's own, Chicago originally, of course, but Nashville's own now, leadoff man for the 2014 title team as a freshman, former Vandy outfielder Roe Coleman is here. Roe, great to see you, buddy. It's been too long.
No, it's a blessing to be here. Thanks for having me.
Roe, of course, played 4 years for Vanderbilt, 2014 through 2017, graduated from Vandy, played 1 year of pro ball in the Tigers organization, but since then has been back here in Nashville coaching and teaching baseball. He's also done some broadcast work recently, which is great. And most recently, Roe, you were working with USA Baseball at the 2022 Prospect Development Pipeline League, which I will let you explain what types of players are there, what types of prospects are there, but you were one of a group of 20 coaches, almost all of whom are either prominent former major leaguers or big-name current amateur coaches.
Yeah, it was a blessing to be at the 2022 PDP. I actually played in an event 10 years ago in 2012 when it was called the Tournament of Stars. A lot has changed since I played in the event.
Just a little.
Yeah. When I played, it was like the different leagues. You had like RBI, Pony, Legion, and things like that. But it was the top guys around the country, and I was fortunate to make the 40-man roster for the USA team, but didn't make the final cut. And now they had just kind of completely revamped it and called the PDP, Prospect Development Pipeline, where they're just bringing the top 100 guys. Got a lot of big league guys just to come in and work with these guys. And we play games throughout the week, and we develop throughout the week. And it was a sight to see some of those players.
Is this all high school age players?
Yes, it's all high school age.
Okay. Players. So I imagine there are some guys there who committed to Vandy, right?
Yeah, it was a few Vandy commits there.
So you were in Cary, North Carolina, which is where all USA Baseball events are held at their complex in the Raleigh-Durham area. How many days were you there, and how is it split up, and is there actual gameplay involved?
Yeah, I was there from June 29th through July 7th, yeah, we played 6 games.
You got back yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, this worked out well.
Yeah, yesterday.
I didn't even realize that.
It's basically around like spring training, honestly. You wake up, kids are waking up about 5:36 every day.
Wow.
You get breakfast, then we go to the field and do about 2.5 hours of skill development work. You get lunch for about an hour, then you back for 2 hours for BP, pregame, and then you play a game. So, I mean, you're at the field all day long. So it's definitely a different challenge for those kids there, but it's giving them everything that they need.
Are any of the players who were there draft eligible this year, or would those guys have been somewhere else?
No, so it was all 2023 guys.
So next year's draft. So
yes.
A lot of high school rising seniors.
Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, that's the cream of the crop. That's the type of event where you look back and, I mean, even in 5 years, you're going to look at the names and it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. It's going to be a couple guys out of that group that will be some first rounders next year.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's crazy.
And what round were you drafted in, by the way?
I got drafted in the 40th round out of high school and then a 34th round, which they don't have anymore.
You were drafted in 2 rounds that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I just wanted the people to know out there that you're coaching the cream of the cream of the crop. And that you don't have to be a star to become a great baseball coach.
No, you don't. You don't. You just have to be a student of the game. You have to be a student and continue to develop your craft.
We're talking to Roe Coleman, former Vandy boy, national champion, leadoff man in 2014. And I said the word star, and I didn't even mean it, but we're going to pivot to what you're doing here in Nashville. You're coaching a travel ball organization along with former big leaguer Jared Parker. You guys have worked at his baseball facility for the last few years as well. Is it relocating into Berry Hill or relocating out of Berry Hill?
We're relocating out of Berry Hill.
Okay.
We have some big things coming up. I wouldn't say we're not a travel organization.
Right.
We're a youth foundation with an emphasis on using baseball to develop life skills through the kids. We do play travel baseball because that's where you have to play competitive baseball. But we're your youth foundation that's using baseball to give these kids the tools they need to be successful in life.
I love it. I love it. And it's called the Nashville Stars.
Nashville Stars Youth Foundation.
So yes. Do you guys have a formal partnership with the Nashville Stars big league trying to bring a team here?
Yes, we do. When we originally started the foundation, it was Empowerment Pursuit. And just recently, we changed our name to the Nashville Stars Youth Foundation. But this is our second year doing teams. Last year, we had a 17U group, which 11 of those guys are going to school, which was a blessing to have in the first year.
Wow.
Now we
all from the Nashville area?
All from the Nashville area.
Wow.
All from the Nashville area. And now we have three teams. We have a 10-year-old group, a 13-year-old group, and we have a 17U team again this year. A few of those guys on this team are committed, and the others will end up in the right place for them as well for school.
That's amazing. So I never played anywhere near the high levels of travel baseball. I played high school baseball. But talking with two of our hosts, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick, Willie's son is a rising junior in high school who plays high-level travel. Darren's son is younger, but Darren coaches 10U travel, and they're on the path to get to that. And Darren basically said when we interviewed your colleague and fellow coach Jared Parker on their show a few weeks ago that this organization is new, but they are already playing at the highest level. How do you guys pull that off?
I think it's just like me, Jared, and DJ. We just got competitive spirits, and we're no matter what, we're not afraid to go play against anybody. And I feel like the only way to get better is to play the best. And we challenge these kids to do that on a daily basis, not just on the field, but off the field. And we put in a lot of work. I'm not just saying we have the most talented kids. We do have talented kids, but we put in a lot of work.
Yeah.
But the kids love it, and we continue to stress that it is a game, and we make it fun, a fun developing environment where they want to come and become better baseball players and better human beings every single day.
Talking to Roe Coleman, former Vandy boy, now coaching baseball here in Nashville and with USA Baseball some as well. For the baseball parents listening or the teenage players listening right now, if they want to either try out to play for you guys or come get lessons at the facility or something like that, what are ways that you guys take or evaluate new players?
So we're currently out of our facility, but we have outdoor spaces that we utilize. You can reach me on my socials. I believe it's Roe Coleman on Twitter, Roe Coleman on Instagram, Facebook, Roe Coleman, Jared Parker on Twitter.
And you guys do read your mentions, which is great.
Yeah.
If you tweet at these guys, they will see it.
Definitely.
Unless Jared's tweeting about NFTs or whatever.
Facts.
Yeah. We're talking to Roe Coleman. I mean, this is the All Vandy Hour. We got to talk some Vandy stuff, right?
Oh, most definitely.
So,
let's get into it.
A lot of folks remember you specifically from your freshman year, which was also my freshman year at Vandy. 2014 baseball season, first title in school history. You were the leadoff man so much of that year. I mean, came in as a freshman. You had such a unique role leading off and DHing. Mm-hmm. Do you think about just how crazy that was that you got to do that so early?
Yeah, it was different. I struggled my freshman year. It was, I mean, you hear that coming to the SEC, how tough it is, and just coming to college baseball, how tough it is, and the transition is different. And I struggled a lot, and it wasn't until the Florida series where I really turned the page. And
that was like the second to last series of the season,
Yeah. And I kind of finished the season pretty strong. But, I mean, it was a blessing to have those older guys, have a mentor like Dansby Swanson, who was just a year older than me, to look up to, and just that support system to just keep driving it to me on a daily basis. Like, you're gonna figure it out. You're going to figure it out. And I eventually did. And it was a blessing to be a part of that group and be a part of the first baseball national championship at Vandy.
You had that walk-off hit against Oregon at home in the regional that year. Is that still the biggest hit of your life? Is it up there? Is it number one?
No, that's definitely the biggest hit of my life. No, it was surreal. But I told Coors when he told me that I was hitting off, like, this is game right here, so you don't have to bring anybody else.
And did he give you the look like, okay, Ro?
No, he knew what time it was.
Oh, yeah. I love that from Corms. Yes. Oh, my God. Ro Coleman's our guest, former Vanderbilt baseball player. There's so much we could talk about from that year and all the years you played at Vanderbilt. I mean, you had the high of the first national championship. You were on the team when Donnie Everett passed away. You were teammates with so many major leaguers at this point, and we just had another one debut in Jason DeLay. I mean, I think it's maybe 10 to 12 that played with you alone in 4 years.
Yes, a
it's
lot.
It's pushing like, double digits.
I lose count. I know. You got Swanson. You got Reynolds. You got Buehler, Fulmer, Beedy,
Sheffield,
Bolden.
Did you say Reynolds yet?
Yeah, I said Reynolds. You got DeLay.
K-Dub. Kyle Wright. And at some point, there will be a 10th, whether it's Jaron Kendall or Connor Kaiser.
Yeah.
Other dudes like that are making their way up.
No, for sure. Yeah, it was a lot.
I feel like we're still missing somebody. I don't know why, but that was
nine.
I hope
we didn't miss anybody.
See, and the thing is, that's all I do is make lists like this in my head. And when I need to say it, when I'm challenged to say it, I'm like, oh, I know I'm forgetting somebody.
No, for sure.
So what were some of those high and low moments like? And what was it like day to day in there during those years?
Man, day to day to just appreciate the structure that Maggie and Coach Corbs brought on a daily basis. They led by example. Like, you wanted to wake up every day and just be a student at Vanderbilt, but also be a baseball player at Vanderbilt, because you knew those two people and the rest of the staff were fully invested in you on a daily basis. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing. So, like, we were prepared for a lot of things. Like, that was one of the biggest things, always to be prepared for anything. And I can definitely say I never really felt like it was a moment at Vanderbilt where I wasn't prepared.
I couldn't agree more. Having witnessed bits and pieces of it as much as someone can without being on the team, I'd like to think, I think that's a really good way to put it. So we're talking with Ro Coleman, played at Vandy, now coaching a lot of different youth and teenage areas of baseball, both in Nashville and also for USA Baseball. And Ro, I mentioned earlier, for those who have been listening to the whole interview, that there were all these big leaguers who were there with you from USA Baseball. And some of them are full-time USA Baseball employees, and some of them, like you, were just there for the week and coach other organizations or coach that age group in some way. So we know there's nothing that baseball fans love more than just lists of former major leaguers, and it's remember this guy. So I'm just going to read them all who were there. And
you can
tell me at the end if you have any funny stories about any of them or stuff like that, but this is a great list of like 90s and 2000s names of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Some of which people will remember, some of which will not. The biggest name is Lance Berkman, who was one of, there were four teams, and every team had a manager, a pitching coach, and two assistants. You were an assistant.
Yes.
And then there were also roving instructors who were the full-time employees of USA Baseball. So Lance Berkman was a manager. Doug Mentkiewicz was the manager of the team you were with.
Yes.
Adam Heisdew, who I think played for the Sounds when they were with the Pirates and is one of my all-time favorite Pirates from their very dark eras when I was growing up in Pittsburgh. Love Adam Heisdew. He was another manager. Pitching coaches, LaTroy Hawkins, who is probably the second biggest name behind Berkman. Greg Swindell, who I love and is also in broadcasting. And then another great former Pirate in Kip Wells, who was also a Sound at one point. And then Dimitri Young's another big name. Not a big leaguer, but Rucker Taylor played at Vanderbilt and is now the head coach at Davidson for their baseball team. And, I mean, another Pittsburgh guy. My boy Jack Wilson, one of the greatest fielding shortstops I've ever seen. So these guys were all there. Denny Hocking also there. One or two of the others may have been major leaguers. Nick Punto is one I missed. Basically everyone on this list. And this is only a list of 21 people.
Yeah.
And that many that I just named were major leaguers.
Yeah.
And you were in that. And also, Roberto Vaz, whose son Javier, plays a Vandy.
Yep.
What was it like just to be rubbing elbows with those guys and getting to watch them instruct?
Man, it was awesome. They welcomed me right away. And to be around those guys and just listen and learn and pick their brains was a blessing. But also to hear them say the same things that we say to our kids on a daily basis was great to know, because it's like the game is really simple, and the guys that really do it at a high level and have the success consistently, they keep it as simple as possible. And I think nowadays with baseball, it's a lot of information out there, but not all information is good information. And being around those guys and just how they just simplify it as much as they can, so the message, anybody can understand the message. It was good to see that and be around those guys and pick their brains.
And you were there for like a week and a half, but did you see the players make progress even in a short time?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, with the skill development sessions we did, and you see it right away in the gameplay. Like, for example, like dirt ball reach, like, a lot of those guys didn't know when how to read those things, and like right away in the game, you get in dirt ball reach. You got guys bunting. You got guys trying to execute and hitting runs well. You got pitchers working on different pitches, like learning how to pitch inside and things like that. So it was like they were sponges, and it was great to see that the top 100 guys in the country, they want to get better.
Yeah.
So and rankings don't mean anything, but it just shows you, like, if you want to be one of those type of players, that you have to be open and willing to learn from anybody. And you cannot get complacent. You can't get complacent. You have to set small goals and try to achieve them every single day, because that's ultimately going to lead to that big goal that you're looking for.
Well, Ro, it was great to see you, brother, and we will have you on again soon. You and Jared Parker should be, honestly, on our airwaves once a week talking baseball, because we know we have so many baseball fans who listen, and you guys do it the right way. You think the game in a modern way and explain it well. So thanks again.
No, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
The great Ro Coleman, Vandy baseball fan favorite, played for the Vandy boys 2014 through 17. Leadoff hitter as a freshman on their first national title team. Played 1 year in the minors for the Tigers, now coaching baseball in a very impactful way locally here in the area. And now also, as we talked about in the interview, a little bit more nationwide for USA Baseball. And it's only getting better for Ro, who is in his late 20s and completes our hat trick of Vanderbilt athlete guests who all I was very fortunate to be in the same class year with and get to know and announce their games. Vanderbilt class of 2017, Ro Coleman, Oren Burks, Simone Charlie, NFL, NWSL, and USA Baseball all represented tonight on The Six. My name's Max Herz. It's been a lot of fun. If you want to hear any of those interviews in full, if you missed them or want to hear them again, search The Game Nashville on your favorite podcast platform, The Game Nashville. That's where we put all of our audio that isn't in one of our daily shows. So all the episodes of The Six will be there. All the interviews will be up there individually, and you can check them out. Thanks to the three of them for joining me. None of them had to do that. None of them, especially the two who are current professional athletes, Oren and Simone, did not have to do that. So thank you to them for their time and their kindness, both now and in our time together at Vandy and also going forward. But three folks whose careers are really going places and are a whole lot of fun to watch. A whole lot of fun to watch. Have a great weekend. My name's Max Herz. You're listening to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.